Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a Take Two edition of the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos. That's Bob Mackowitz. And Bob, obviously, I hate to say this, I am pissed off to be here like this.
So we recorded a pod yesterday, right after the Raptors lost, swept in four by the Cavs.
Yep.
We were planning to do one on Thursday, but we both anticipated it would go to a game five.
Yep.
And probably lose in a game five. Or whatever. Anyway, the point was neither of us thought there'd be a sweep, so we thought we'd do it Thursday. We wound up doing yesterday, but as the fates would have it, for some bizarre reason, the file was corrupted.
Yeah.
The audio was unusable, and so here we are today on a Wednesday late morning in West Toronto. Mm-hmm. Take two, the Take Two edition of the Macko and Cos podcast.
And the thing is, there was glorious stuff. There was day drinking by me.
You were a little buzzed.
Amy was bringing wine. It was, you know, it was a good time.
It was a fun pod.
Yeah.
And there's so much people will never find out about. The dark secret from my past.
Yep, all that stuff.
Your secret dreams.
Yep. Yeah,
we really could have just called it the Secrets Edition, and now no one will know.
And Obama and Trump called in, and they were laughing, and now we'll never have any of that. Do you want to tell your commute? The thing is, I want to do new stuff. I don't want to try to recreate what we did. Because,
well, we should at least talk about the Raptors.
Oh, again. No, we will, but I have actually new angles for it. I have two new angles for it.
I have a game I'd like to play, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if it fits into your angles.
Well, no, you never know.
Why don't we do one of your angles? The game I play is called Should He Stay or Should He Go?
Okay,
where
let's
we simply
do it.
Just go through the roster and various people and discuss. Because it feels now like yesterday's was we were kind of, digesting the game and today, this is all about moving on. Already, Josh Lewenberg from TSN reporting that it sounds pretty clear that Casey's gone.
Yeah, the team sources say the team is strongly leaning on getting rid of Dwayne Casey. And then also, I don't know if you read this from the New York Times, the coaches, and this is an unofficial award, and this is only the second year they've done this, they vote themselves. The coaches vote for who they think should be the coach of the
Please
year.
Please don't say it.
Oh, yeah. Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey. Now, I don't know when they did this vote. I imagine it was done at the end of the regular season, but the irony is easy and delicious. So we could talk about Dwayne Casey as well. I have new thoughts on DeMar DeRozan.
Okay, why don't we start here? Because this is like pure rosterbation on a Wednesday afternoon.
Let's do it.
So let's play Should He Stay or Should He Go?
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan edition.
Yep.
We'll start there. He's the head of the snake. Uh-huh. Do we cut off the head of the snake?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, Bob, spoiler alert, for DeMar, Kyle, and Ibaka, if you could get a deal, I would get rid of all of them. I would do a full blow up because the Raptors are in limbo. They're in high-end limbo, mind you. They're not a team fighting for 10th. They're a team that had 59 wins, but I still would get rid of everyone.
It's a funny thing that you could have something in the NBA called high limbo,
yeah,
where you're just a really good team forever.
Yeah.
Do you remember the end of Doctor Strange? Spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't seen it, but have you seen Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Where he decides he's going to defeat him with a time loop. Mm-hmm. The dread Dormammu, he could never hope to defeat him. And Dormammu in this instance is clearly LeBron.
Yeah.
And the only thing Doctor Strange can do is try to tire him out by repeating the same moment over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it feels like if you don't blow it up, you're making the Doctor Strange decision to replay history until the end of eternity.
It's a great analogy, and yeah, funky movie. Much better than I expected. I went in with low expectations.
Solid 8.5. What'd you think of Benedict Cumberbatch?
Oh.
In The Avengers.
He was great.
He is good,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's a funny thing. You have good actors, and they make superheroes better.
He's got a punchable face.
Yeah, he does.
But there's something about it where I don't know what it is. Maybe it's self-awareness.
He is a likable schmarmy, like Jack Nicholas. Nicholson, excuse me. Like Nicholson, for instance, in As Good As It Gets. Anyone else doing that movie, you hate him, but you like Jack. I'm going to defend in a rational way why I think the Raptors should blow it up. Because when you come out and say, blow it up, it screams emotion. And of course, there is emotion here. But if you get rid of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Raptors in the playoffs against non-LeBron James teams are 17-16, and they've been outscored by 41 points. That says to me the Raptors are kind of an average postseason team, which means they're in limbo. We can enjoy the regular season, and it's great. And you can enjoy it and know that, okay, they'll make the playoffs, and you know, there's a good chance they'll win the first round. And if that's enough for you, I get it. Don't change a thing.
Okay, so here's my question before we go, because this is a very macro view of the Raptors as a whole.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you need to do something big to shake it up. Most people are saying the coach is enough, but we started off by talking to DeRozan. So I ask you now, if DeRozan wasn't the star that they were building around, if it was a Damian Lillard, if it was, I'm trying to think of another guy who's sort of a just below the apex star.
Klay Thompson?
Klay Thompson, another great example.
Yeah.
If it was someone like that, but with Dwayne Casey and everything else in place, would this team be better? Is the problem mostly DeRozan's inefficiency in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think Klay actually would be better. I think it starts with, I mean, what was
Klay Thompson's a great analogy because he plays two guard.
He plays two guard.
You could set him up with Kyle and that would be your backcourt.
I think it'd be better because he's better defensively. It's just that DeMar DeRozan, 65 points on 64 shots. It was close to that. And he didn't hit a three. He didn't attempt a three in the second two games. And I always hate talking bad. It's not even talking bad. It's just these are the numbers. These are the facts. DeMar DeRozan, wonderful in the regular season. He will defeat the inefficiencies of regular season teams. But come the playoffs, he gets kind of shut down.
The question has always been, and we've discussed whether or not DeMar is kind of like a Phil Kessel in this, that if you put too much on his plate, he's not the kind of player who can do it by himself.
Yeah.
So is it simply that it's not that DeMar DeRozan is a bad player. It's that he's just miscast.
He's miscast as the number one.
Right?
Yeah.
That he needs to be someone's Robin. Great, as damn good a player as he is, as borderline great as he is, if you want to win in the NBA, he's got to be somebody's Robin.
Kyle Lowry is Alfred. DeMar DeRozan is Robin. We don't got a Batman.
Who's Commissioner Gordon in this? Is that Ujiri?
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon.
Or is that Dwayne Casey?
Yeah, it's whichever management figure you want it to be. Like,
I think Dwayne Casey's Jim Gordon because he's got a strong, old-fashioned sense of principle about him.
Yeah, I feel both
the
at some
point.
The
one last honest cop on the force.
I feel Dwayne Casey, when he's not coaching, does have a full-length trench coat.
Okay, I'm going to actually keep a running tab here. So far we've compared. How many comics figures can we compare?
Well, we got
Doctor Strange, now Batman.
And now Batman.
All right. I better not write on my... I'm actually writing on my daughter's homework. I should probably erase that.
We're going to get, by the way, at some point, the what's going on in the middle of your living room, which is really cute and really creative looking. Your daughter's got...
Only child.
Yeah, your daughter's got a whole only child. Perfect.
Only child.
She's got a bunch of toys arrayed. We'll get to it in a bit. We'll tease that.
Okay.
But
so let's get back to this because I'm of the mind that Dwayne Casey gone with this unit has a better chance of winning than DeMar DeRozan gone and anybody else you could bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could get Anthony Davis, you get Anthony Davis.
Great.
But nobody's getting Anthony Davis.
No, they're not.
Not unless, you know, even Boogie Cousins. You know, how many times have you and I said, oh, to dream of Boogie? But if you brought in Boogie instead of Serge, would you still win with this group? The answer would probably be no, because neither Boogie nor DeMar are the kind of player you're talking about.
Yeah, and also with Boogie, injury issues, and he's one of the few ones where even the analytics people are like, ooh, I don't know if I trust this guy.
Right.
Like his personality. He's like the one.
He's Derek Coleman.
Yeah.
Where he could be one of the all-time greats, but you just feel like his personality will always get in the way.
Yep, 100%.
The NBA, I love this concept of the high limbo because it is so true, and we've seen so many teams get lost in it. It's like that final spider web at the top of the wall before you get over it. You know, you just get trapped in it. The spider web happens to look like LeBron, but
yeah, it does. And the thing is, there's a couple different versions of limbo. There's the 10-8 seed team. Like there's the Miami Heat level of limbo, and that one is low. Toronto's better than them. And then there is there's garbage, there's low limbo, there's high limbo, And then there's the elites. And the elites are only like three.
So a move for DeMar is obviously difficult because he has a max contract. So yeah. you have to have a team that's willing to give back enough to A, justify it, and B, be able to accommodate that within their own roster and salary cap issue. So the Lakers are a team that everybody always rumored him. What would you accept, like a package, a Brandon Ingram and draft picks package for DeMar DeRozan?
Yes.
Is Ingram good enough?
Yep.
Yeah, or is it just that you have to get rid of him?
You have to get rid, go draft picks. Unfortunately, you got to Andy Dufresne this. You got to crawl through a mile of crap before. And it's so unique to the NBA. It's funny. The NBA is the progressive league. Oh, they're so wonderful and progressive. Except when it comes to their stars, and then there's only a couple of them, and they're the gap. There's only a couple of them. They're all in just a couple cities, and that's it. I mean, it's still different between any other sport.
The most democratic of all the leagues is somehow built on monarchy.
Yeah, it's true. Like Golden State, they beat Utah in five. They got a whole whack of stars.
Although Utah looked damn good.
Utah did.
They feel like they could be a high limbo team.
They could, because Donovan Mitchell. And, I mean, that's unique. He got drafted like 13 or 14.
He was a low lottery pick. And he's the guy that every GM prays can fall in. Like, even Giannis was a low lottery pick.
Yep.
There are great players that do fall. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you want to give yourself the best chance to find the best ones. And that's obviously at the top of the draft.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my feeling on should they go.
So how eager are you to get rid of him? This is the part that I'm trying to understand, because you have a caveat here, which is if you can get a good deal. But I think any GM would always, you know, it's the Monty Burns syndrome, right? I would give it all up for just a little more.
Yeah, you're not.
What are you really getting for DeMar?
You're not getting a lot. Realistically, here's the most likely scenario. They get rid of Dwayne Casey. Oh, making a change. That's what Masai Ujiri said when the Raptors got swept 2 years ago by Cleveland. You keep everyone together for one more run. Enjoy the hell out of it. And then at the end of and hope for an injury or something crazy to happen, or hope that some team that had aspirations, dumpster fire happens and they want to get rid of their star, and then the Raptors can swoop in. And most likely none of that happens, but it'll be easier at the end of next year to trade Lowry or Ibaka because they only have 1 year left on their deals.
It feels like I'm not so against the idea of the reset. And it seems like Masai Ujiri built into his strategy a reset, because the contracts
about it.
Yeah, they all kind of time out at the end. So this unit has a certain amount of time. And I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point. Maybe even by the time this pod is posted, Casey's gone. It'll be Stackhouse or Nurse. It feels like it'll be someone from inside the organization.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the way they approach next year. They're going to say, okay, we're going to be a different team, you know, different head of the snake.
Yeah.
In your mind, though, like, this is what I'm trying to figure out. Do you do the DeMar DeRozan deal regardless? Like, let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
We've compared him to Phil Kessel in the past.
Yep.
The Kessel deal for the Leafs, they did it even though they knew they weren't going to get fair value, because they just wanted to wipe the slate clean.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right. Are you in that mode with DeMar where you say, okay, I know this isn't a great deal. I know the best I'm getting at back is the basketball equivalent of Kasperi Kapanen.
Yep.
But I'm willing to do it because it gets him off the books and it gets me into a new space.
I'm not 100%, but I'm certainly more than 50%.
Really?
Yeah, I am, because we saw this last year. We saw this the year before. We saw this the year before. It's all the same quotes. It's all the same result. Masai Ujiri last year, when they got swept, said, we're going to do major changes. If things don't change significantly, then there's going to be significant changes. And the regular season, there was lots of changes, but he didn't care about the regular season. And in the postseason, there was lots of points where you looked at Washington, and you go, ooh, that team is more dangerous because they got Beal and Wall. The Raptors only once have had the best player on the court in the playoffs, and that was against Miami when Lowry was slightly better than Dwayne Wade. So we know it's going
to
happen.
See, I think this is a tricky year to do it. Maybe every year is going to be tricky to do it from now on.
There's no easy year.
Right, because maybe teams are always going to be like you're saying. They feel like they're going to get stuck in the net of high limbo.
Yeah.
So let's look at the teams that are desperate right now to get culture change. Washington, which means either Wall or Beal are on the move.
Or just like
Portland is probably a team that's going to shake loose, either McCollum or Lillard.
Yeah.
Like, these are really great players that are going to be out there and available. And I don't know that DeMar is probably in that mix, but it's not like he's going to be the gem.
Yeah.
Not this year. Like, I mean, don't you think that other GMs would be more excited about adding a John Wall than a DeMar DeRozan?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
So I don't even know what you could get for him this year. Like, I feel like when they signed that deal, they tethered their horse to him, and that's it.
San Antonio, I think, would make sense, because San Antonio, I don't know their salary, but they're a team where, you know, they need another star. You know,
and Kawhi's probably gone.
Yeah, but even if Kawhi stinks, Kawhi's got another year or two left. But what do they need? They need another scorer. They need and DeMar DeRozan. You put him somewhere there, he'll be great.
No, they've already tried Rudy Gay. I don't think that they're looking really for Raptors cast-offs.
He's a better player than Rudy Gay.
He's a much better player.
Yeah, than Rudy and Gay. You put him there, and then now he's no longer the number one guy.
If Kawhi's there.
Yeah, if Kawhi's there. If Kawhi's not, then it's LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. That's not enough. But LaMarcus Aldridge with Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan. Again, now we're doing speculative rosterbation without having the facts in terms of the salaries. I'll go like this. The reason why you leave things the same is that you hope that DeMar DeRozan can become an 8 to 10% better three-point shooter. Not percentage-wise. In terms of percentage points, 4% better three-point shooter, and OG Anunoby takes a leap. And if those two things happen, then you can talk yourself into maybe the Raptors will be better in the playoffs. That's the best-case scenario. And, of course, health.
Okay, so I say DeMar stays.
Yep.
And you say DeMar goes.
I predict he'll stay. But
No. But you're saying you would prefer.
Yeah,
and should I stay or should he stay or should he go?
Yeah,
I'm saying he should stay. You're saying he should go.
Caveat: they all got to go.
Okay, but that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't matter.
No, like, half
you're
measures.
Still you're checking the box that says next to DeMar's name, trying to get rid of.
Yes, I'm checking that box. Yes.
Okay, and you're willing to be pretty open-minded in terms of what you get back.
Yep.
Okay. Kyle Lowry.
Yep. Check. Bye bye.
He feels like he's an easier one to lose simply because of the age, and you just anticipate. Like, we always thought that the last year of his contract would be kind of a lousy year anyway. So that one's easy. Here's where it gets a little bit tougher. Fred VanVleet.
Yeah. The problem here, and I'm going to compare it a little bit to Carey Price. The problem with the Montreal Canadiens is they need to rebuild. But as long as Carey Price is there, he's going to win too many games. And the Raptors, the brilliant thing they did was they did develop this wonderful bench, and they've got these young players that might make them win more games than you expect. But you go with Fred VanVleet, DeLon Wright, OG Anunoby, and you hope that, you know, everyone in the East gets better so you can lose a lot.
Now, let's assume that you don't lose any of your big three, which means that you're probably going to have to be in the luxury or close to
it. Oh, you're in the luxury for the first time.
Right. For this team? Like, if you're the board now, are you saying, wait a minute, you are trying to tell us we should go into the luxury tax for a team that nobody believes is better than a second-round playoff team?
Yep.
How do you sell that?
You sell it because, you know how you sell it? Go look at Atlanta. Go look at teams that are bad and find me the home sellouts. You go into the max, you go in the luxury because you're still going to make money. You're still going to sell out 41 home games. You're still going to get at least two or three, at the very least, at the bare minimum, no. The bare minimum, you're going to get 5 to 7 home playoff dates. And that's why you do it. And because you're making lots of money. You know, it's not like Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is sitting there where they're on a razor-thin margin between profit and, you know, failure.
You mean they're not up late at night, the lamp is off, the glow of the laptop on your face as you're desperately going over your columns?
What it is not is, you know, there's the husband and wife, and she looks up from the books and goes, honey, and he takes his glasses off, deep sigh, what? And she's like, I don't know if we're going to make it this quarter. You don't have that. There's none of that.
I want to keep going on this. Yeah. And then they both look at the old antique engagement ring that her grandmother gave her. Are they willing to pawn it?
Not the ring. I don't care about the ring. I care about us. We want to keep this farm. It was in our family. Our family's. Yeah, exactly. They're not. The Raptors.
No, they're having a money fight right now.
MLSE, total money fight.
Isn't that kind of a reason why you bring DeMar back, though, if you're MLSE? And if you're everybody in that organization for exactly those, say, 4 to 7
yeah.
home playoff dates.
And that's why you can go into the tax. They can. They absolutely can.
But you're saying get rid of them. If you get rid of them, now you're starting to say, okay, we're moving in the other direction.
Mm-hmm. You are. You're going to have to
You're assuming there's not going to be a star for star swap, right?
No. Yeah. No, I don't want star for star.
You want to go back to the beginning.
Picks. Just give a bunch of draft picks. Yeah. And do it like that. And the thing is all good things must come to an end. So I'll sit there and watch videos of the last 3 years of the Raptors. They're great moments of the regular season. In the background, we'll meet again as plain. I'll have a wistful drink. I'll remember the good times. And I'll go, well, you got to reset.
Okay, so let's keep playing should he say, should he go, but maybe we'll do this more rapid fire.
Sure.
Serge Ibaka. No, he's hard to trade, but you could do a Damari Carroll type situation.
Can't do the last one. You don't have a pick.
No, I know, but you can always pick, you know, or package up some of your young players. Like, you can get him off the books. You just have to pay through the nose. Are you willing to do that to get Serge out of town for 2 years?
No, because Serge can be part of Operation Lose Games.
See, I'm confused. Do you want to lose games or do you not want to lose?
I want to lose.
Are you advocating the tank?
Yes.
Okay, so just dump them all.
Dump them all.
Well, in that case, you don't care what the return is for DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You want to Kessel him. You send him out of town.
Sorry if I was unclear. Yeah, tank.
Maybe it's just that I'm shocked that you would say that you want to bottom out with a team that is so young and has good players on
it. They do. They do have good players. And that's the conundrum of the NBA. And it's unlike any other sport. The Raptors got one seeds usually don't get swept, and they did. And hell, it happened to Atlanta. And they're a 500 playoff team against non-LeBron James teams. There is something rotten in the state of Denmark. And the crazy thing is, in the regular season, Denmark looks fantastic.
I have an analogy for DeMar DeRozan.
Do it.
A shocking musical analogy.
Okay.
DeMar DeRozan is the Coldplay of the NBA. When he was drafted, it was kind of like when Parachutes came out and the song Yellow, and you go, oh, yeah. Okay, like this is pretty good, eh? But he'll be gone, you know, soon, you know, here today, gone later.
Yeah,
today,
you're
going
to keep walking on that beach.
Keep walking
buddy.
On the beach, buddy, yeah. Just walking and waving. Yeah. And then a rush of blood to the head comes out, and you go, oh, what do we have here? This is really something. This doesn't usually happen. And you get all excited, and you go, I think we're on the cusp of something great here.
Yep.
And then Viva La Vida comes out, and you go, it's really good. It's a good record. Like, you know, I kind of want more, though. Give me more. Give me Joshua Tree. You got a Joshua Tree in there, don't you? And then the records keep coming. You go, yeah, perennial all-star. I love it. It's great.
And then they're performing at the Super Bowl, and you're like, can I get more Bruno Mars? Exactly. And can I get more Beyonce? Even though it was Coldplay was the original one. Like, get out of the way, Coldplay. I want more Bruno Mars.
And all they did wrong was not have several brilliant records.
Yeah.
And be better than anyone thought they would be.
Yeah, that was Coldplay's main problem on the Super Bowl was they weren't as talented as Beyonce or Bruno Mars.
They're not Prince. They're not U2. Yeah. They're not Tom Petty. They're not Bruce Springsteen.
But Coldplay.
They're damn good band.
Damn good career.
Damn good band. Great songs, great melodies. But there was that, you know, it felt like this season was the rush of blood to the head, but for DeMar DeRozan, where you go, oh, I think there could be something more here.
Yeah.
And you realize, nah, there's not. He's probably peaked.
So I'm part of the tank, and what you're part more of, let it run for another year?
I think you got to let it run, one, because the roster is so young, and I think there are kids who are going to get better. If they can solve the Norm conundrum, that's an extra weapon. And I know that's a big if. We've seen this a million times.
Yeah. But
nobody expected Norm Powell to be this bad. And unless we're willing to write him off, which I'm not.
Yeah.
He just might have had a down year. Players have down years for all kinds of reasons. Even if he turns out to be a serviceable bench player, that's just another piece you got.
Yeah.
Poeltl, I'm not so excited about. People have been more excited about him than I have been. But I do think DeLon Wright's going to continue to take steps forward and be a really good backup point guard. And so I feel like this team will be at least this good next year. And they won 59 games.
Yeah, I think
so. I can't walk away from that.
And that makes sense. I'm not going to yell and scream because the argument makes sense. Now, they're not going to win 59 games because Boston's going to be a little bit better. Philly's going to be better. And here's the main argument, as I said, is you keep everything in place. You never know what happens with LeBron. You never know about injuries. And also, you never know if another team gets desperate and will get rid of their star. And then you can package up some of these pieces and midseason bring in a big name. The possibilities are out there. They're slim, But what you're saying does make a ton of sense. In fact, your side of the argument makes more sense than mine. Mine is just purely based on their playoff record over the last 5 years and how underwhelming they've been. One sentence. This is the greatest Raptors team ever, comma. This is LeBron James's worst team ever, comma. Raptors got swept.
That's a good way to put it. I'd argue it's the second worst team because that first finals team, the one with the big Z's, Zildjurnas Ilgauskas and Bobby Gibson and all those bums.
Yeah, yeah.
The big Z was good when he was young. It's just
you're right.
He was on half a knee at
that point. Love is better than anyone LeBron James had in 09.
Yeah, but it's still like we haven't seen him have this weak a team in many years.
Yeah.
This is not a point of view. I throw this out legitimately as a question. To what extent do we reevaluate Masai Ujiri's tenure here?
Oh, I think it's been great.
Are you sure?
Yes. I think it's great because what more could he have done?
Okay, so let me throw it out this way. He could not have signed DeMar. He could not have signed Kyle. He could not have signed Serge Ibaka. He could not have signed Damari Carroll. He could not have signed Norm Powell. Uh-huh. Like, these are ultimately his decisions.
Yep.
So you know how you talk about getting trapped in the web of going to be good, but never great? Well, that's ultimately up to the GM. Like, all these decisions, like, he's been terrific at bringing in young pieces and finding, you know, gems where, you know, they're hard to find. Second rounders, bottom of the first round, you know, unquestionably. But if you think DeMar isn't the guy, and you think Kyle isn't the guy, and you think JV isn't the guy, like, they're all still here. This is Masai's team. Like, he can blame Dwayne Casey and say, you're not coaching him up the way I'd like you to. But in the end, you don't believe that another coach can do a better job. Mm-hmm. So isn't this more on the GM for giving, like, these are his players. This is his team.
Now, to me, it's more on the nature. I get what you're saying. I push back.
I'm not advocating for this. I'm just saying, is he allowed to skate without these questions being asked?
Oh, he's, if you're going to do the mistakes, the Damari Carroll was an absolute blunder and a baka. But every GM makes mistakes. If Indiana wins game 7, then the Raptors are playing Indiana, and I think the Raptors beat Indiana. I think the Raptors sweat it out, but I think they beat the Pacers. Now they're in the NBA final, the Eastern Conference Finals, and they could beat Boston. I give Boston the edge. I think Boston 58% of the time wins it, but I think the Raptors could win it 42%. Then we're looking at Masai Ujiri different. This is the unique nature of LeBron James, Thanos, of the NBA, you know, he's got 10 Infinity Stones and he's got more in his locker. It's the nature of LeBron.
Although, in fairness, you've been saying all pod long that it doesn't matter what you do. There is no other scenario. This is just the one inevitable conclusion when you face LeBron in the East is
LeBron will destroy you.
So when you go back to Kyle Lowry, I mean, if not for James Dolan nixing the deal, he's with the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
Because you gotta believe, or did he? Because according to your point of view, he didn't. Because he could never win a championship with this roster. So did he get lucky? Or did he find himself in a Shapiro and Atkins situation where the team you want to blow up gets too good?
Yeah.
And now you're stuck with it because your owners love the money and the fans are back into it. But you know deep in your gut they're not good enough.
The NBA, it's weird. The Raptors were both incredibly successful. Listen, this has been incredible. They were punished by their success. And it was incredibly successful. If you go in the entirety of the entire NBA, we don't look at the Raptors as a vacuum. They are more successful than 90% of the teams in the NBA. Mm-hmm. The problem is the gap between the top 10% and everyone else is huge. So they've been very successful, and they are victims of their success, and they're victims of the NBA. I mean, also with Masai Ujiri, it's a higher degree of difficulty because I'll bring in the Canada card. I'll play the Canada card.
Daryl Morey was able to get people to Houston.
But it's easier to get American players to go play in Texas than it is in Canada.
That is true. I mean, I'm being a dick when I say that because, of course, that's the case.
Like, imagine this. Like, just all these players who are so thoughtful and they are more progressive. Toronto versus without Trump, not to get too political here. And by the way, you know, Kathleen Wynne and Trudeau, whew, you got your warts as well. But, you know, you don't have, you got this more progressive country here. And you've got so many players speaking out about Trump. But take that aside. You got a team that's averaged 52 wins. You got Masai Ujiri and the work he's done with Giants of Africa. You got a thoughtful guy. You got a city of Toronto that everyone loves to party in. So now let's forget politics. And let's forget feel goody Masai Ujiri. You got King Street West. You got Jalen Rose raving about it. You got Charles Barkley raving about it. So you got Party City, fourth largest city in North America, Masai Ujiri, no Donald Trump. And yet, the only guy who ever took an interview was LaMarcus Aldridge. That's it.
Do you think Mexico City would have this problem?
Yeah. I think
they wouldn't, just because the Spanish culture, particularly in the southern United States like California, Texas, where a lot of these players are from, I think they have a better understanding of the Hispanic culture than they do the Canadian.
But the isolationist nature of a lot of the educational systems in the United States, and by the way, that happens in other schools in other countries, I think Mexico City would also be dealing with this as well. It's a good question. I don't have a full answer, but
we got the cold. Let's face it. The fact that the All-Star game happened in the deep freeze, like it was a beautiful winter. And then for 3 days, it was like the set of The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing for 3 days.
And then the first round of the playoffs, you had ice storms and,
you know.
Oh, my God.
So we haven't really, you know, we haven't been dialing up sevens with that one.
Yeah, we haven't. Sure, it's a good point.
But I think it's because it's Canada. So even though Minnesota is further north, I mean, New York is freaking colder than Toronto is.
Yeah, I know, but it's
it just
Mecca.
Doesn't matter. Chicago is colder than Toronto in the winter. It doesn't matter. Nah.
We don't even get the interviews.
By the way, I think Masai has done a good job.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that I think that he's probably looking at his exit strategy, too, because he's a hell of a hot commodity, but the luster can go off anyone. Remember how everyone talked about how Bill Cowher, when's he going to get back into coaching?
Yeah.
He's the smartest mind in football. And after a couple of years of him not getting back in, it's like, oh, remember Bill Cowher? That guy who used to coach?
Yeah.
Things go up and things go down. And if Masai's smart, he should know. Gravity affects everyone.
Also, Bill Cowher, smart move.
Oh, yeah.
You get paid a ton of money and your work schedule, your work life. Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, Miami tried to convince him to come back, and he was friends with Wayne Huizenga, who passed away recently. And over the last decade, I'm trying to remember the quote, but it's like quality time.
I heard
left.
This story on Levitar.
Yeah, on Dan Levitar.
When Huizenga died, and then he told him that it's
QTL, like quality time left. And for Bill Cowher, much better job with his QTL. John Gruden. His QTL is about to take a hit.
Landsberg had a great line once upon a time. We were in Philadelphia for the NBA All-Star game back in the day. The one where Kobe got booed.
Yep.
Oh, I booed him. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So we went to this place in South Philly. Man, this place was mobbed up. There were some guys who walked into a side room and the food followed them.
Right.
It was awesome. But anyway, the food was delicious. We're sitting there. We're eating. And there's steak vermeil on the... And he goes, Landsberg goes, so is this named after the coach? And they're like, yeah, it's named after the coach. He goes, do I go have to eat this at my desk?
That's a good line. Those coaches, they worked. It's a badge of honor. Yeah, I slept in the office today and I haven't seen my kid in 3 weeks.
What happened? Like, there's something weird about North American culture. And it's even more true in the States than it is here. Where there's this weird machismo about how little family life you have.
Yeah.
Oh, I work so hard. I don't even remember my kids' names.
Yeah. It is
high five.
Yeah. It's not here as much, but it absolutely was part of the, I think it goes, you know, if you want to dive deep back into like the American dream of you can accomplish anything. You just got to work really super duper hard. And then sometimes to work super duper duper hard, you've got to sacrifice everything else.
But it was weird though, because, and I think you're right. I think those are the roots of it. But back in the day, you did it for your family.
Yeah.
Now I don't even feel like anybody does it for their family anymore. I feel like they do it because
it's
just what you're expected to do.
You know what it is? It's 20 crocodile handlers, and they're each showing off who's got the worst wound. Oh, you think that's a bad one? Check, and it's a point of pride.
It's the USS Indianapolis speech in Jaws.
Yeah.
Just before, where they're showing each other the scars.
Yep.
Robert Shaw puts his leg up on the table. You see that one?
Yeah.
Thresher. That's a Thresher shark tail. Just cut you like that. That was a pretty bad Robert Shaw. But anyway.
It was a bad Robert Shaw.
Jaws was on yesterday, and true or false that I was able to do all the lines from all the scenes before they were actually spoken.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Amy was shocked. It was the first time you see Quint when he's talking about he'd kill the fish. And yeah, you nailed it.
Scratching his nails down the board.
Yep. $3,000. That's not like, yeah, you nailed. Yeah, you did. Like
I estimated that I've seen it. If not whole, like not the entire thing, but at least parts of it, probably over 100 times.
Yeah.
Of course, it's on every other day.
It's on every other day. And yeah, you watch 25 minutes. Like, oh, okay, I'm just going to come in and get my little bite-sized portion of Jaws.
I got to admit, speaking of bite-sized portions, nicely done there. I saw what you did there.
Yep.
I got to admit, I'm starting to get up there on Jaws 2. I can't decide whether or not Jaws 2 is underrated or not.
It has to be because it's not overrated.
Right.
No one is. There's not a lot of people singing the praises of Catamarans and Jaws 2.
I kind of like it, though. And it could once again be just that I've seen it so many times. But I'm getting to the point where I won't turn it off if it's on.
You know what I wish?
Hmm.
I wish, and I know this is a common one. This is a trope, what I'm about to say. I wish I was in the room with Roy Scheider's agent when they were talking about Jaws 2. Because there's no way Roy, he must have needed the money. Like there must have been a divorce or something going on when he agreed to do Jaws. Because I don't think Spielberg was part of it. So,
oh no. Oh no, he was not.
And usually what happens is when you do the horrible part two where the director and the heart and soul of it are out, usually the main actor is not in it. But Roy Scheider was.
It's a good point, especially because Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw had moved on as well. Really, yeah. Only Lorraine Bracco was back, who played his wife, Ellen.
Yeah, shocking move there.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it's better than people give it credit for, though. The one thing is I don't really like the water skiing scene. Mm-hmm. I feel like you could probably, like the shark catching up to, because she's doing all these moves back and forth while she's water skiing.
Wait, was that two or that part three?
That was two. That was two.
Because part
but it was a great poster,
yeah.
But it wasn't a great scene.
No, because part three featured lots of water skiing because it took place in
that's
in
right,
a water
in SeaWorld. And part three is awful.
Part three is awful.
Just awful.
Oscar Award winner, Lou Gossett Jr.
Lou Gossett Jr. was kind of like Michael Caine, kind of like Sam Jackson in that super talented actor,
yep.
But would make any shit that had a check attached to it.
Star of Jaws 4, Michael Caine.
There you go.
I don't know if you did that on purpose.
No, I didn't, but I actually wanted to write a paper back when I was in university about Jaws 4, The Revenge, about the triumph of paganism.
Oh, my God. By the way, that statement there makes me miss university.
Yeah.
Where you could somehow get away with, you know, I'm paying to go to university and I'm writing a paper on Jaws 4 and it's legitimate.
Oh, actually, it's all coming back to me now. It was the triumph of technology over nature, and it was the impaling of the shark on the spear of the boat using the technology to get him out of the water. Yeah. I had this whole thing charted out.
That is such a bullshit thesis. Okay, let me ask you a question, Bob.
But you see, the shark represented the subconscious mind.
I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Uh-huh.
I was lucky enough, my parents paid for my undergrad degree.
Uh-huh.
Did your parents pay for yours?
They paid for parts of it.
Okay, because I hope your parents are not listening to this part of the podcast, because if they knew, and again, cost of university when I went, so much cheaper than what it is now.
It was $2,000.
Oh, actually, it's a little higher than I thought. You went to one of them fancy schools.
Well, I went to a real school.
Yeah.
I went to U of T.
Yeah, I went to McMaster. So,
right.
You know. But
you went to a practice school.
Yeah.
JUCO.
Going to keep moving on. A lot of doctors. A lot of doctors went to medical program. Not me. I was in theater and history.
But you majored in Madden.
Yeah.
Your ability to master defense is what made you unstoppable.
I was so good in Madden. While everyone focuses on offense, like, no. I exploited the market inefficiency of Madden, and I focused on how to play defense. But your parents, if they knew they paid for even part of your university, and you did a paper on the triumph of technology over nature for your Jaws 4 thesis, they would not stop throwing up.
What I love about it is that I have the audacity and the pretension to assume that what I did had importance, whereas you just scammed for 4 years.
Yeah.
Played Madden
and
got out of it after meeting some girls and then went out and got a job in sports.
Yeah, it actually helped me. You know, I did radio and newspaper there, and it helped me.
I love it. Matt, once again, you win.
Yeah.
You always do.
I always win.
To borrow from Will Ferrell doing Robert Goulet, you win. You always do.
I have a DeMar take, but I'm going to tease that by saying SeatGiant.ca. They're our Canadian partner for this show. And I'm going to give the read while Bob's going to have his porridge with blueberries. By the way, blueberries, next to brown sugar, the best thing in porridge. SeatGiant.ca, Canadian owned, operated, and they guarantee every ticket to be legitimate. They stand behind the customer experience. SeatGiant.ca, and the most important thing, it's in Canadian dollars. You don't have to worry about any sort of conversions or bank fees or exchange fees. All of that done. Out of here. Goodbye. But more importantly, use the discount code Bob and Matt. You use that at checkout. You get a discount on your tickets. And of that discount, we get a small percentage. You win, we win, everyone wins. SeatGiant.ca. How was the porch?
I'm just finishing chewing. Give me 1 second.
Oh, sorry. And also, should mention, Jeff Pollock is our lawyer. And the dude calls me up all the time, making sure everything's okay with my will. And that's the thing about him. He will give you great service, whether it is wills, litigation, states and trusts. It's an incredibly successful law firm, but it's a small family law firm. JeffPollock.com. Jeff with a G, 416-777-0088. The number again, 416-777-0088. Or you can go to epollock.com. That's his wife. She handles all the accounting. She handles your money, your new business, your retirement. He handles all the legal stuff.
I really admire what Jeff built. I think what Strombo and I are trying to do with our company is somewhat like what Jeff did, where not only are you a company that has, you know, like you're moving, you're driving forward, but also you build it on family principles, which is always really hard. But I think if you can do it, it's doubly rewarding.
Yeah,
working with family's tough. I've done it before. I've pretty much only worked with friends my whole life.
Yeah,
you know, you and I have been pals for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We always find a way into each other's orbits.
It really is true.
I wonder if we'll ever get a show again. I wonder if we'll ever be on the air again.
I'm gonna say yes, only because like in radio and stuff, everything comes around.
Yeah,
you know.
Do we need to start a letter writing campaign?
I think so. A letter writing campaign.
Yeah. Talk about it, eh? Get our our union busting picket signs out.
I got to tell you, big stamp and big envelope. They love this idea. Also, I'm going to try to convince Jeff Pollock to, because he tweeted me about it. I am going to sign up to do the Bordeaux Marathon. It's in March of next year. I got 10 months. But I need a goal. In life, to you know, lose weight or get in shape, you need a goal. And marathons are always the best carrot in front of me because you don't want to be running and on kilometer 31, you're gassed.
And your carrot is a 12% alcoholic volume carrot.
Yeah. Ooh, and by the way, good for using 12% because New World wine is 14, 15%. But Bordeaux, Old World wine, that's where you want it, the sweet spot. 11 to 12, that's where you want your wine. You don't want high alcohol.
I want to talk a little hockey with you, but this is actually a good place for us. The last couple of pods, we haven't done our restaurant and wine reviews.
Yeah.
So I've got a restaurant review and then I have a question for you.
Sure.
My restaurant reviews, man, I had a good Jamaican patty. At Queen of Patties at Lansdowne and Bloor.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I know that one.
The filling was delicious
and
moist, and there was tons of it. And it wasn't like that paste that you get where you go, this was probably meat once.
It was
like a hamburger inside of a patty.
And where it's as dry as the brown paper bag serving you get it.
And there's that mysterious red dot on the outside indicating this one's hot. And
you think,
like, what the hell makes this? This red doesn't exist in nature.
No, it doesn't.
Queen of Patties at Lansdowne and Bloor. Can't recommend it enough. And for my wife, who's a vegetarian, they have good veggie patties too.
Nice.
I haven't tried any of the other Jamaican food, but I find that what you need in life is a roster of snacks.
Yep.
Right? Like places where you go for certain things.
Like
wings and fries and patties.
Yep.
So there it is.
Nice.
Lansdowne and Bloor. If you're in the area, don't stop by and say hi because I never answered the door.
Well, you got to bang really, really hard.
ask Matt how many times he's had to stand at the door banging.
Yep. For wine?
Yeah. Okay. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Barbecue season is upon us. Everybody's feeling it because we've had 3 great days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
A great under $20 wine for a burger barbecue.
13th Street Winery, their Gamay Noir is really good. Same Gamay Noir, Taz. It's just under 20 as well. I'm trying to, you know, keep...
And this is all at the LCBO.
Like. All at the LCBO. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to recommend, well, I got it through my consignment company. Yeah, no. I'm going to go with those two. Keep it local. So,
okay,
Gamay Noir, either Taz or 13th Street.
Okay, so what do I ask for when I walk in?
Oh, just go to take me to the Ontario section.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So they're Ontario wines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, these are both.
I love it. So I'm buying local.
Buying local.
And I'm under $20, and it's for a barbecue. Okay,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed the other day? I picked up my head. And I'm like, oh my God, there's been a lot of great hockey on.
Yep.
After the Leafs lost, and because of the Raptors were so engrossing for four painful days. I suddenly dawned on me, like, wait a minute, Washington beat Pittsburgh.
They did.
We've got a game seven coming up between Nashville and Winnipeg.
Yep.
And the Vegas somehow miraculously made it to the conference final. Like, literally, there are no bad stories left. Whatever happens at this point is interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, because first off with Ovechkin, you're going to undiscovered country for this fella. The third round. Never been there. Washington hasn't been there in 20 years.
And he's the NHL's Dan Marino to this point.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely he is. Unfortunately, he's going to lose in six to Tampa.
Yeah, they look awfully good.
The Lightning, we forget. You know, they had the one bad year because everyone was injured. And what did they do the years before and this year? They always get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Or sometimes they get to the Stanley Cup Finals. That's who they are. But, I mean, just having him there and let's see what he can do. It's great. That's a great storyline. And it's fresher than Pittsburgh because there's no new storylines with the Penguins. You know, all you get with the Penguins are funny, ironic pictures of Phil Kessel looking incredibly unathletic. And we all laugh at him. We go, I love that Phil Kessel guy.
I love that Phil Kessel guy.
Yeah.
That picture's the best.
Yeah.
Do you have a final that you want to see?
Not Vegas. Well, on one level, I really want Vegas because I love chaos. On another level, bleep them. They're greedy. They've had way too much success. I guess Washington.
Let me jump in while you think.
Yeah, yeah. What's yours?
For me, it's Washington and Nashville.
Okay.
And I want to see Nashville win. Mm-hmm. I really like the Nashville organization, and David Poile has been so smart for so long. It would be nice to finally bring it
rewarded.
Home. To be, you know, because they were the quintessential, you know, we talked so much about the Raptors earlier and what you can and can't do as a place that doesn't attract talent. They have found a way around being a small market. I'm not even sure they are considered a small market anymore. They've just done such a good job of building up this team.
Yeah.
So many smart moves. I would love to see them make it. Plus, I think Winnipeg, as exciting as they are, they'll be back.
I was just thinking the same thing. They'll have their time.
You know, maybe 100%. It's not this year. You know, maybe it's next year or a couple down the road. But although I don't think you can lose with either one of those teams.
Yeah.
They're both pretty great to watch.
Yep.
And then how do you not pull for Ovi? How do you not pull for the greatest goal scorer of this generation and maybe of any generation? Finally making it to the cup final and, you know, hopefully as a good one. I would love to see Nashville win. And really, this is just, I can boil it down to one thing, Matt. It's painful for Montreal Canadiens fans to watch PK lift the cup.
That's a very good point. You know what? Ooh, wait, nope. I got a new answer. Because I was agreeing with everything you were saying. I want Tampa to win it all. I want Tampa to win it all.
Okay.
Because sometimes when a team wins it all, they lose a bit of the eye of the tiger. And for the good of the Maple Leafs, it's because Washington's an older team. Their window is closing. Tampa, on the other hand, their window is much more open than the Capitals. But maybe if they win it all, a little more tired, eye of the tiger, a little bit dimmed, you know, maybe it helps the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I like that. There's the refractory period at the beginning of every season.
Exactly.
So that's a good one, Matt. Yeah. I kind of am with you on this one now.
Yeah.
Nicely done,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
Nicely
thank you.
Done.
Because I was just in my head thinking all the different options out there. And yeah, you know. And then think about this. Finally, mission accomplished. You know, nothing hurts your ability to win championships than mission accomplished.
I got a question for you. An ethical question. I'm walking down the street the other day.
Yeah.
And there's an older person who's walking in front of me. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain kind of older person that has a magical ability to walk directly in the middle of the sidewalk so you cannot get around
them. Oh, yeah. And you start veering to the left and they veering to the left.
Yeah.
Oh,
and for whatever reason, it is like the greatest run blocking. It's what Barry Sanders never had. Yeah. You cannot get around this person.
Yeah.
What is less obtrusive? Walking around them quickly where you do the quick little sidestep off to the curb?
Yep.
Or saying, excuse me, please, and then getting them to move over. So what is the better move? Because, well, you give me your answer and I'll tell you why I don't know.
It's tough because the excuse me, at the very least, you're trying to be polite.
But you frighten them.
But you could frighten them. And also that encounter takes longer. The quick little... You know,
but it feels rude.
It does feel rude.
It feels
rude.
Like you're cutting someone off on the road.
Yeah.
Even though technically you are being cut off.
Yeah. And we all know that, you know, the elderly, you know, sometimes I wonder, are you doing this on purpose? You're like, screw you. You're younger than me. I don't have much. This brings me moments of pleasure.
Just to ramp up your gears a little bit. Yeah. Kind of stroll down the middle of the sidewalk.
Yeah. And then they come home. Hey, honey, how was your day? Great. I pissed off 42 people that were under 30. Man, were they angry on King Street today.
And then they jump on their Stairmaster and crank out a quick 10K.
Yeah.
So
what do you think?
I think the right thing is to do the skip around because the bigger fear is do you frighten the person? And the excuse me, please, always seems to make them jump.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to them, like this person. And it's over quick. That's the other thing is you just move on because there's no good answers. So it's like ripping the Band-Aid off the wound.
Yeah, 100%. I go with that.
We go with that?
Yeah.
All right. So be it resolved that when stuck behind the elderly, just quickly zip around them.
Yeah.
And don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your head to the ground.
I like it.
Do you got any sports you want to do at this point? I got a present for you.
Ooh. Let's go right to the present.
There's a present with a twist here.
Okay.
Now, I got you this book.
Oh, thank you.
Can you please describe it?
You got me a National Times bestseller, Sick in the Head, ooh, by Judd Apatow, Conversations About Life and Comedy. Ooh, and it's him. Is it him talking to a variety of different comedians?
It is, about life and comedy.
Oh, cool. And Eddie Vedder's, ooh, Harold Ramis, Jim Carrey, Ben Stiller, Jay Leno, who I think gets a bad rap. I think Jay Leno.
Great comic, bad late night host.
Yeah. Michael Che. Oh, this is great. Thank you.
Now, there's a twist here. Open it up and look inside and see if you can find what I wrote.
Okay. Let's see here.
He's just flipping through the main page.
All right. Hold on. This is great pod. This is great.
I may not have put it in there.
Okay.
Oh, I guess I didn't write it in there.
This is even worse. You're asking me to read something.
Oh, I thought I inscribed it. I thought I inscribed it, but I guess I never did. That's something I would do. That's your Christmas present from 2015.
I mean, I'm supposed to be thankful of this gift since 2015.
Yeah, it's been sitting on my bookshelf since 2015.
You know what?
I saw it, and I thought you would like it, and then I just kept forgetting to give it to you until today, May of 2018.
This totally encapsulates you, because on one end, very thoughtful, very generous, and also just, you know, very empathetic. You know me, you know what I would like. And the other level, scattered and wildly disorganized.
Total flake.
As I often say, Bob, your level of success is remarkable considering in some ways, not always, but in some, you are very organized with some things, but yet the things you're not organized about, it usually belies someone with less success. That's not meant, it's meant as a compliment, but I know it comes out weird.
I was once walking. And I used to do something called the Scotch Walk,
where
I would pour three fingers of scotch and walk around the neighborhood in Parkdale.
Yeah.
And I was watching all these guys and, you know, they were out there drinking and it struck me that, you know, there I was drinking and they were out there drinking, but our lives were very different.
Yeah.
And so I went back in and I talked to my wife and I said, you know what the biggest difference is between me and those guys? And I had some big, long speech I had concocted in my head. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, me.
Yeah, exactly.
So Matt,
yes,
that's the answer to everything. Sandra is the answer to everything.
Well, maybe she can fix the
X Raptors. Equals Sandra.
Thank you very much for that, Bob.
I think you're going to enjoy it.
You know what's great about this? Like at night when I'm trying to fall asleep by 10:30, because, you know, do morning radio.
Right.
You need something to read. This is absolutely perfect.
This is something I've learned is that if you want to sleep, you got to read before bed.
You do. Oh, 100%.
You got to shut off all the screens and you got to give yourself a half an hour to read.
Yeah. Oh, it's true.
Do you want to talk Osuna? I know we don't have a lot of time, but...
I was thinking about it, but then maybe we save it. We only have got
until we know a little bit more.
Yeah, we know a little bit more. I have thoughts. We only have 3-4 minutes. Plus, I have a theory on the mental health of DeMar DeRozan, but we'll save that as well.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, we only got 3 minutes.
I want the last 3 minutes. I want to discuss what's on. I was thinking that what's on the living room
floor. Okay, so my daughter, who is an only child, she's 8 years old. She gets all of her dolls together and then she teaches them. So what you're looking at is Plato's Symposium. This is her little university for her dolls, and they all have books, and they read to each other, and they share ideas, and it's kind of like HBO's Girls.
Yeah.
But the 8-year-old version.
Yeah, less exposed vagina.
And she's very into historical figures right now. So if you'll notice, there's books about Amelia Earhart and Marie Curie and Agatha Christie.
Yeah, it is so like only child is there's what 5 or 6 dolls. They're all in a circle. One is riding a tiger, all with a book, and she's better than me.
Yeah, like, she is for sure.
When I was 8, I was not reading books about historical figures.
I'll take this one step further. You see that some of the dolls have been knocked over?
Yeah.
It's because one of them, she looked at me and she starts to spin it around and they're knocking over. She goes, "I'm breakdancing. I'm breakdancing."
That is awesome.
Yeah, she wants to learn to break dance too.
Wow.
I told you the line. I think I may have shared this on the pod, but maybe this is a good way to sign off.
Yep.
I think to sum up my daughter best, she's into hip hop now. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the car and 93.5, the hip hop station in Toronto's on. And of course, Drake's God's Plan is on because it's always on.
Mm-hmm.
She listens for about a minute and then she leans over and says, "Dad, is this guy trying to rap?"
Oh, no. Your daughter did a diss track on Drake.
She absolutely did.
Your daughter is Kendrick Perkins. I mean, they kind of look the same, you know.
And just to know that it wasn't an accident, the next day we were in the car, same time of day, there was an Ice Cube song on. It was the radio edit.
Yep.
So there was no cussing. Mm-hmm. And about a minute goes by and she leans over and she goes, "See, Dad, now this guy's rapping, not like Drake."
Oh, my God. That is a great way to end it. Bob, you have a great week.
You too,
Here's
buddy.
Here's hoping this podcast works.
So we're clear, we're on summer hours now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, summer hours once a week. Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to listener Joe, who tried to help me out with yesterday's, and Sean Woodley, who's got a great Raptors.
It's Hooked
podcast.
On Raptors. No, sorry, Locked On Raptors.
Yeah, Locked
so
On.
So follow him. It's S-E-A-N, Sean Woodley.
Yeah.
He's got a season wrap-up. Mm-hmm. He's really smart. I wanted him to be our producer once upon a time. Secret's out, but
it
didn't work.
He needed money for food and stuff. So, you know, there was that. Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.